You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, that's Big Crit. You keep rocking this in. I love that song. I'm sorry. I'm a big fan of Yeah, That's Me.
Yeah, man. You should be. It's a dope song, man.
It is, but it's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. I'm Will.
Well, no, you're Wally.
I'm Will.
And I'm Wally.
See? We messing out there. I'm Wally.
This Will, what's going on, world?
See, I tried to catch you slipping. You see how I did that?
Nah, man, I'm ready. I'm always ready on deck, man.
I see, sir. Like I said, the Urban Sports Scene, the Eyes Radio Network. You can check the Eyes Radio Network at www.eyesradio.com. Such shows on there are Run TMC with Tom Block and MC Hater, which airs Mondays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, Clutch Sports Radio, which airs on Thursdays from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And also, BT Sports Radio, which airs tonight, Tuesday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And also, check out our homies, Crowley and Watts, radio podcast show. They're not on the Eyes Radio Network, but they're cool with us at www.crowleyandwatts.com. And also, we also have our show syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by our good friends from Apogee, so please make sure you support us and check the site out at www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Excuse me, I have the burp.
Yeah.
I just went to Quiznos and I tore that sub up. It was historic. That sub was good.
That's what's up. Now, yeah. Can I do my thing right now?
Oh, right, you can. Go ahead.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Yesterday, it was celebrated as if they won the World Series, the Nationals. Won the NL East championship.
Well, so let's be correct about this. I am, like I told you, I'm a Yankees and a Nats fan, so I support the Nats, and I'm very happy that the Nats attained the NL East championship. But the Nats, they didn't win it. They backed into it.
Yeah.
They lost 2-0 against the Phillies at home. But luckily, Atlanta lost 2-1. And thus clinching the NL East for the Nationals. And I'm very happy for them. And, you know, D.C. is very happy also and proud. It's been, what, 70-something years?
I have no idea. I wasn't born, obviously. So.
Yeah, so.
So I'm not excited.
A little bit of a. And maybe that was just the TV, you know, the camera. Maybe they had filmed it and just running it over.
Let me put the story together with it. Let me put the what I saw in context, you know, what I'm talking about in context.
Yeah.
We went to Green Turtle in Crofton, Maryland, and
hold on, man, don't give them no pub. We didn't get no free drinks.
That's true.
No free liquor, man.
You know, but
we were hanging out,
and from what we saw on TV, it looked like the longest celebration in the world. It reminds me of when the Lakers probably won the championship in like '88, back in the '80s when Magic and Kareem were celebrating. It looked like it was a championship. It didn't seem like an actual. You would think they won it all. And it looked like it was going on for a year.
Yeah, it looked like it was going on for well over an hour.
I know. And man. Also, I'm going to give, you know, Ray is ecstatic. And Ray is another member of the Urban Sports Scene. He's ecstatic that the Nets are going to the, well, with that one. He's ecstatic they won the NL East. He even texted me Natitude. So, Ray, big ups to you. I know you're happy. Your Nets, Bryce Harper, get to go to the actual playoffs.
Everyone's excited about it, man.
Not everyone. I don't care for it.
All right, but from some very exciting, uplifting news for D.C. to a downer, John Wall, it's been reported John Wall, he'll miss the first 8 weeks of the season due to a stress injury in his right knee. How does that affect the Wizards?
It's going to hurt. You know, you have a good, I mean, Whitman did a decent job towards the end of the season. And they had some momentum and some positive thinking going into the off season. And now you start a new season. You know, the best thing about a new season is hope. And your franchise player, your marquee player, is out for 8 weeks. All I would say this about John Wall is make sure you rest as much as you can. This area does not need another Gilbert Arenas situation. So rest as much as you can, and when you're ready, and when you're 100% ready, don't feel rushed. Because when you look at John Wall, you see a kid that's a hard worker, in my opinion, a guy who likes to play basketball, and he wouldn't want to disappoint his teammates. So if I was counseling a young man, I would say just wait till you're 100%, and then, you know, get on there for the season. Get on there for the season, excuse me.
Yeah, especially because his game is so, at this point of his career, it's so much dependent upon speed. He really needs to take the time to relax and strengthen the knee and make sure he's 100% healthy, because it doesn't doesn't help the Wizards any if he comes back 80-85% and isn't able to give it everything and 85%. Play at his maximum level. Yeah, 85%. He's not 85% anymore once we get to these records. Let me tell you that.
On the picks?
Yeah.
You're right about that.
But this does adversely affect the Wizards because, you know, they drafted Bradley Beal, who's primarily a spot-up shooter. He isn't a guy who can, at this point in his career, who handles the ball very well. They had Shelvin Mack as their backup point guard.
They signed Pargo.
So, I'm predicting another 9-20 start for the Wizards.
Ooh, that's tough. We'll see. Only time will tell. But you know, it's speaking of Wizards, they're doing their training camp. I think it's just start. I think it started today. Did the Wizards training camp start today?
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, NBA training camp basically started. It's a bunch of storylines. Start with one of them. You heard what Kevin Garnett said?
Yeah, he essentially erased Ray Allen's phone number out of his phone. He's not talking to him because they went, because he went to Miami. It's just petty. If he wasn't your friend in the first place.
Yeah, that's how I'm like. If he's gonna say that and say I'm not your friend anymore because you went to Miami, then he's not your friend. And also, to be honest with you, what do you expect Ray Allen to do? You all were trying to trade him for like last couple of years anyway.
Well, I can see both sides of the story. You know, it's reported that Boston offered double the money that Miami did. But also, if you're Ray Allen, the past 2 years you've heard your name dangled in trade talks. I can see why he wants to leave, why he wanted to leave Boston.
Reports are reports. All I know is the proof is in the pudding. Last season you started Bradley over him. So he's going to take a bench role. Then you signed Jason Terry. You signed Jason Terry before you signed Ray Allen. Before you even try to contact Ray Allen to try to work out a deal, you signed Jason Terry for all of that. So the proof is in the pudding. Like, you didn't show the proper respect to him anyway. And oh yeah, Adrian Bradley, I like Bradley. I'm just saying, but like, the proof is in the pudding. Like, you pretty much ain't one there anymore as a starter. Kobe Bryant, he just stated today, or was there yesterday, that the Lakers are still his team.
That's pretty much a fact, known fact.
Yeah.
Until I say for the next 2 years, maybe three at the most, the Lakers are his team, and then this team has started to transition to be Dwight Howard's team.
I'll say this: if Kobe Bryant really wants this to work, he's going to have to give some of the keys to Dwight.
And
Steve Nash, that too. But I mean, if he wants Dwight to stay, Dwight can be like the third option. He's got to be damn near close to being number one.
Yeah, you got to run that offense through him.
Yeah.
Started from the inside, working on out. Steve Nash is a guy who needs the ball. He's going to control the ball.
Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see. Last time Kobe had this many all-star teammates was when they lost to Detroit in the finals, if I believe correctly.
Oh, you're talking about when Shaq was on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. When they had Gary Payton, Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see.
Oh, yeah. All right. In golf, you know, I don't talk about golf because it's not my thing. But in golf.
Why are we talking about it then?
Because everybody's talking about it.
Not
the
us.
The USA team choked.
The Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup.
Let me ask you a question. The Ryder Cup was on during the Redskins game. Did you watch any of the Ryder Cup?
Hell no.
So why the hell are we talking about
it? Because they choked. I just mentioned on the pregame just to mention it. Oh, okay. I don't watch golf. Watch golf?
If Tiger Woods on Sunday is...
All right, all I'm saying, this is the only thing I've noticed within all the coverage. The USA team, they choked to Europe, from what I hear.
Okay.
How come it seems like when Tiger chokes, it's worse off than when the whole team USA choked? I think when Tiger chokes over the weekend,
Tiger
a big story.
Is golf. Tiger Woods is golf now.
That's the only thing. Like, when Tiger chokes, y'all don't go as hard, you know... This is my opinion. All right, let's go to football. A sport that I do like, but this is a sad thing. Former Ravens defensive coordinator and now head coach for the Colts, Chuck Pagano, was diagnosed with a treatable form of leukemia.
I'm very saddened to hear that. I don't know Chuck Pagano personally, but from everything I've gathered about him, he's a stand-up guy, a great leader of men. Luckily, this is the leukemia is very treatable, and he'll be out the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, but
if I were him, it's not worth it.
It's not
just
worth
scratch it.
It
for this season.
Yeah.
Regain your health I'm pretty sure your family wants you to stay at home, regain your health. Football, the Indianapolis Colts are not going anywhere. They drafted a quarterback who will be there for the next 15 years at least.
So you'll get to coach him.
Yeah, so you'll get to coach him. Just stay to the whole Pagano family. You know, you're in our prayers and speedy recovery.
Okay, yeah. Now down more to some more. Now let's go to college. Last Saturday, West Virginia. Would that be like a local team? Local enough?
No, not really.
All right, well, it's local to me. This only local. That's the only team I actually like in this area. West Virginia, Virginia Tech. Can't stand Maryland. Geno Smith, QB for West Virginia. Geno Smith had an unbelievable game. He threw for over 600 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Unbelievable is an understatement. He had a arcade game.
He had a Madden 93 game.
Yeah, on the easiest level.
On rookie.
You're on rookie. the guy threw more touchdowns than he had incompletions.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Did you watch the game?
I saw, like, highlights.
Yeah, I caught parts of it. Uh-huh. I think we can mail it in for Heisman.
I said, and he was my pick at the beginning of the season. That was my Heisman pick.
We can mail it in for Heisman. And Geno Smith, because of the success of RG3 that's early in the season, is going to make him himself some money next year. Let's just say that.
I think so too. I mean, to me, Geno Smith. You see what Mike Barkley's doing? He's struggling a little. I mean, he's not doing as well as everyone thought he would do. You know, they thought you would think that what Geno Smith just did. So people expected that out of Matt Barkley this season, like early already, especially with some of the cupcake games he had in the beginning of the season. But Geno Smith has thrown 20 touchdowns and no interceptions so far this season, like over 1,700 yards. I mean, the dude has been putting up numbers, crazy numbers throughout. I mean, I know it's still early in the season, but he's put up crazy numbers already. Like 20 touchdowns, no interceptions. You can luck up into an interception, but 20 touchdowns and no interceptions?
It's ridiculous, man. Watching him is very very entertaining. West Virginia team, very entertaining.
No defense, though.
No defense at all. That's why I said this team is not built for a national championship run.
Well, we'll see. I mean, big game for them next week is Texas. They play Texas next week.
Is that at Texas?
I believe so. I think it's at Texas.
I think it is.
Yeah, so big game for them. They win that game, then we can definitely revisit the national championship talk. Because if you go undefeated in a major conference, the chances are, especially in the Big 12, it's called Big 12?
Yeah.
A Big 12, they always change the names now. In the Big 12, your chances of getting to a national championship it'll be high, especially compared to like the weak conference like the Big Ten and the Pac Ten Pac 12, excuse me, is a little wishy washy. But if Oregon beats USC, then you know that's pretty much easy for them too as well. But yeah, Geno Smith, if he ain't the first quarterback drafted in the draft, I'll be highly disappointed.
I don't think he's gonna be the first quarterback drafted.
You think Matt Barkley be before him? There's only one. That's only quarterback in this draft pool. And a kid from Texas, and a kid from Oklahoma, Landry Jones.
What about Tyler Wilson from Arkansas?
Not as big as Geno's probably bigger than him. You know, Tom Mechelli always had Geno Smith pretty high on his board.
Yeah,
he's always liked Geno Smith.
Yeah, I'm pretty I think McShay's board goes Barkley and then Geno Smith.
I bet it is. But he's always I'll be honest with you. He's always from the get go been a big fan of Geno Smith. I know that for a fact.
But it'd be interesting to see.
All right. Well, anyway. Geno Smith torched RG3's Baylor squad. RG3 made Geno's home state remember his name. When we get back, we talking about the Redskins Tampa game. We'll recap on it. And I must say, I was highly excited but frustrated at the same time. Urban Sports Scene
for ages
on Eyes Radio.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't. Because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official website, our official Urban Sports Scene website, www.walio.podbean.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Stillafan. The show is produced by West Coast Stillafan.
I'll admit, man, that was kind of a very impressive transition you had to come to bring us into the second section.
Oh, thanks, man. I try, you know.
You know, I do.
Creativity, man. I try to bring creativity to Urban Sports Scene.
That's what you do. You bring creativity,
man. Yeah, you know, some people bring that, you know, that fire, that passion. I try to bring that creativity, you know.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
But anyway, like I did talk about, when you know, I talked about the Bucks Skins game. You know, we can go into detail and say, well, what do you think about the game? That's redundant anyway. But let's put it this way. We knew RG3 had a big drive.
Bob did have a very big drive.
We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing this every week.
Bobby.
No,
Bob.
His name is Rob. If you're going to call him anything, you can call him Robert if you want to.
Bob or Bobby.
That's disrespectful to his name. That's like me calling you Bill. Yeah, exactly. Come on now. I'm not going to do that. I respect you, but I respect you as a
His
person.
Name is Robert.
Thank you. That's Robert. Better. Robert. There you go. That's better. Okay, there we go. We come to an agreement. Anyway, RG3 had a game-winning drive. You think that was that drive symbolic for things to come down the road, or was this like his moment? You know, everybody has a moment.
I do think that when this season is over, and if he continues to play at a level that supersedes expectations for a rookie quarterback, people will look back on this game and say, this is one of those key moments, one of those milestones of his first year that everyone really know that he would be the leader of this team, and this team will have their quarterback for the next 12 years.
Yeah. you know what? I think what was good for him to do this drive and actually have a successful drive. You've seen the last couple of games. Let's go with the St. Louis Rams game where Josh Morgan messed up and acted a fool, threw a football at Finnegan. Mm-hmm. I keep messing up his name.
Cortland Finnegan.
Yeah. He got him to a position, but you know Josh Wilson messed it up. Then you go into the Cincinnati Bengals game. He drives the ball from like with no timeouts from almost to the other side from, I guess, our 20 all the way to, you know, pretty much the 15-yard line with time to spare. But then you had he took the sack and Fred Davis going off sides and a false start. And then you had Kyle Shanahan with the 15-yard penalty. So he's getting you to the position to be successful. Now, there's some hiccups in a way by other players to kind of stunt his drives. Now, in this situation, everything was sound. He got the opportunity. He got to make the plays. There were no bonehead plays, no mental errors. He knew he had the potential to do this. You know what I mean? And now, with him finishing it, I think it's just going to add more to his confidence. And it's something he's going to be known for as, like, all right, he has the ball with 2 minutes left. His teammates are going to have trust in him. He's going to be confident, and he's going to get the job. And he's going to feel like he can get the job done.
I totally agree with you. This is one of those games that can help to project him upward, you know, from a confidence standpoint and a play standpoint, because a confidence in his teammates and coaching staff also, because they know that he can do it, because there were reports that came out that during that last drive, Robert called his own plays because he couldn't get any. There was no communication from the sideline.
Wow, yeah. Shocker. Yeah. That's what happens, though. That's what happens. It's football. That's a situation that usually occurs, though. You know, you're a road team. The home team ain't gonna give you that advantage. They're not gonna get you. They ain't gonna do that for you. But anyway, the Redskins wouldn't be in that situation for real. RG3 wouldn't have to lead them down the field if Billy Cundiff could kick like two easy kicks.
Yeah, I didn't even. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch the Redskins versus Bucks game a lot.
Yeah.
But from my understanding, Billy Cundiff missed 3 field goals prior
to 50. He had a 50-yard kick, 56. Didn't expect him to make it, okay? Yeah, okay. You know his record with 50-yard kicks. 40-yard, I think he had like a 41, missed it easily. Then he had a 31, missed it easily. Then, you know, the game winner, he barely made it. Be honest with you, he barely made it. I
mean, but he made it, though. That's the reason why the Redskins brought him in, to make these clutch kicks.
They brought him in to be consistent. And he's shown us that he can't be consistent. And all he can do that's better than Graham Gano is kick the ball out of the end zone. But Graham Gano could do it, but it was a strategic thing for him not to kick it out of the end zone, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, I'm a favor. Do you think the Redskins should have cut Cundiff? Because Shanahan has already said he's gonna keep him. He's bringing in no kickers.
As an Eagles fan, hell no. Listen, but, this guy could be a weapon for the Eagles come November and December when the Eagles play the Redskins. This guy can, you know, in cold weather,
that's true.
The ball gets harder.
Good point.
It gets harder for you to kick field goals with the wind and the elements. So, no, Redskins should keep this guy. But, no, realistically, I don't think the Redskins should have brought in any other kickers because even though he missed those first three, he did what he's supposed to do, which has been to kick on the kickoffs, kick the ball out of the end zone, and he made a clutch kick.
I feel you. I don't trust Billy Cundiff. I don't trust him. Can't win with him.
Can't win with him. Can't do it.
But look, I posed this question on Facebook. My man Shelby said I would have released him yesterday. My man George, what's up, George, man? George Templeton, faithful on the show. He always like kind of
what's going on,
has
George?
Comments. He said he made the winning kick barely, so he can stay. For one more week, I think people are on the bench with him. They don't know where to go.
People got to remove the emotion from their decision making, man. And you got to ultimately look at
they sucks. You're right.
He missed three, but he made a clutch kick. That's the most important thing.
You know,
he made
sucks.
A clutch kick.
The Ravens cut him for a reason. All right, I'm sick of they cut him for a reason. The reason is because he sucks. And Shanahan is arrogant. He knows, and he has an ego. He knows if he cuts him, he's going to look stupid. Like, I brought this dude in. I signed him without really trying to really work him out like that. So if I cut him, I look like an idiot. I look Bobo the fool.
I don't think that's the case, but man, that's Shanahan. A discussion for another time.
Anyway, my man Johnny said, no, if you don't have a surefire replacement that will be in an upgrade, then why would you? He won the game. Let's move on. You don't fire a man for one bad day at the office.
My sentiments exactly.
That's a good point, my man Thomas Curl. What's up, Thomas? Cut the backup tackle anyway. Like he said, cut the backup tackle anyway to the fact that he was retired last year and go sign another tackle. I guess he's saying, like, it defeats the purpose. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. My bad, Thomas. I know you. I read another one for you. Nah, but he said he wouldn't. Thomas, excuse me. My phone is geeking. Damn, Thomas, this is a long ass.
Summarize it.
Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to read the first sentence. He said, nah, but I will bring in a younger kicker to compete with him. All right, Thomas. Thank you. I appreciate it. That is a long Facebook comment, Thomas. You my man, though, homie.
We appreciate the love and the support.
Yes, we do. But, yeah, I would cut him. Y'all know that. It's easy. I said it on Facebook that I would cut him easily. I never wanted him in D.C. anyway. But anyway, you saw what happened to Brandon Merriweather and you didn't see what happened to Brandon Merriweather and Robinson
no.
in the pregame warm-up?
No, what
you
happened?
You know he got hurt, right? You know he got hurt, though, right?
Who, Brandon Merriweather?
Yeah.
No.
You know nothing about it. You never heard of it?
I've heard people talk about it, but
all right, well,
I didn't see it.
Pre-game warm-ups, you know, they were just warming up. Brandon Merriweather was going out for a fly. You know, somebody threw it up. He was trying to track the ball. Robinson was just stretching, and he got in the way, and they collided. And Brandon Merriweather's probably messed up his MCL and PCL. I don't think he tore anything, but I think he probably sprained it. And Robinson, Altrick Robinson had a concussion.
Oh, wow.
So that's why he couldn't – Archer Robinson couldn't even play in the game. So he couldn't play because he had a concussion. And Brandon Merriweather was supposed to play against the Tampa, but, you know, because of that, he couldn't play. Now he won't play against Atlanta.
You know what I mean? Well, I mean, unless Brandon Merriweather has some type of special powers or something, nothing can help that Redskins back four.
Oh, but Brandon Merriweather? Do you remember how good he was with the Patriots?
Yeah.
He's a Pro Bowler,
and
baby.
Then it got cut.
Sometimes some other people need a situation, you know, to succeed, a different situation. I mean, people get cut. Billy Cundiff got cut.
Yeah.
And look at him now.
He's the GOAT.
And look at him now.
Yeah. All right, bro. Enough about last week. Let's preview this upcoming week. When the Redskins play the Atlanta Falcons, that is at home, correct?
It's home. Yeah, it's a home game.
The home game.
Ray's team.
Yeah.
Atlanta. Ray already texted me 5-0. Huh? Ray texted me 5-0. He on that juice, though. That's why I'm going to keep it status quo, though. You know how I roll.
Yeah, I know how you are. From what we've seen thus far, can the Redskins and the Redskins' poor pass coverage, can they contain Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez?
I'm not going to say I'm not worried about Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez is a threat, but I'm not. That's the least of my worries. My big worry is really Roddy White at the moment. I like Julio Jones. I'm a big fan of Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones is one of the most explosive wide receivers in the game. But I think over the last couple of weeks, he's been kind of in the rut. He hasn't done what he did in week one. But we already know Julio Jones is ultra talented. But Roddy White, man, Roddy White is the ultimate professional. He is the wide receiver on the team. He's the main. He's the stud on the squad. The Redskins do make wide receivers look good. Richard Jackson was dormant for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
he played against us. And yeah, he thought Phillip Rivers throwing the ball again.
Yeah, I will say this: the best piece of advice I can give the Redskins to kind of combat the Falcons' wide receivers is don't leave D'Angelo Hall and man coverage against either one of them.
Nah, and also to be honest with you too, but the thing what the Redskins can do to can negate Roddy White and Julio Jones, which the Panthers were successful in doing, is putting pressure on Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I don't see that.
We have better pass.
Ryan Kerrigan is the only guy that I can say can put pressure on.
You look at to be honest with you, we have a better pass rush than the Panthers. If you watch the Panthers over weeks. The last, other than against Atlanta, they haven't put any pressure on the quarterback. Eli's had time, and Eli, you saw what the Eagles did to Eli on their pass rush. A lot of pass rushes get at the Giants. So to be honest with you, the Panthers' pass rush isn't better than ours. It's not. And if they can get to them, we can get to them. And they did it on the road. You get what I'm saying? They did that too on the road. So imagine if FedEx is just packed, crowd noise. Our players will get off the ball, so we can get a rush on them. So if we can get a pass rush on them, we can negate to a certain extent. We can negate one of the wide receivers getting out. I think we all know that somebody's gonna get out in this game. Wide receivers,
and I think it's gonna be Roddy White.
Oh, I agree. It's probably gonna be Roddy White. I am not arguing. You can look at my face. I am not arguing. I'm just saying but will that be enough to beat the Redskins? That's a different question.
Well, we'll figure. We're making our picks for.
Now let's go to the game plan. What do you think the game plan for the Skins should be in this game?
Oh, for the Redskins.
Yeah.
Ground and pound.
Agree with you. That's it. I agree.
Keep
with you.
The ball. Keep play. Keep away from Matt Ryan and that prolific offense. The best thing the Redskins could do is eat up the clock and put Matt Ryan in situations where they're behind and they have to throw. And you can just let that pass rush try to get to him.
You know what? The same thing you're saying, and I agree with it. I agree with you. That's what the Redskins strategy should be. That should be the same exact strategy for the Atlanta Falcons for our offense, because our offense is prolific in its own little way.
Yeah, I mean, the Redskins too. Usually I would take a shot here at the Redskins, but I can't. The Redskins do have the number one scoring offense in the NFL. I think it's going to work for both ways for both teams. But if I'm the Redskins, I concentrate on running the ball and putting Matt Ryan in a situation. Don't come with the zero blitz.
Hell no.
That's the worst thing you could do.
Hell no. But it's going to happen.
Try to cut down. Bend but don't break. Just try to cut down on the big play.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And why the Redskins' game plan should be to attack, to run, is because Atlanta's run defense is porous. And you got Alfred Morris, who's one of the top running backs in the NFL statistically.
And you got Evan Royster. And you got Ryan Grant. They just signed Ryan Grant. So.
And then you got RG3, who's running wild.
Robert.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Will's calling Robert now. I'm going with RG3. I mean, I'm going to call him RG3. I'm going to ride for him. But this is going to be, obviously, the Redskins versus Atlanta. This is actually going to be one of our main picks for week 5. So you can make your prediction, Will, right now. Which team do you have winning?
You're going to be surprised.
Sunday. Go ahead.
I actually have the Redskins.
What the hell is going on?
I actually think the Redskins, I think this is one of those games where Atlanta the big emotional letdown after the comeback last week against Carolina, a division game at home, coming up north to play the Redskins.
You just fueling Ray's fire. No. Ray, you know Ray gonna listen to the show. Ray gonna be like, "Oh, really?" And this is ooh.
Well, no, this is just my opinion. You know, I am 11-1 this year, picking games, so it's just one man's opinion. So I'm not quite perfect, but
I'm damn near there.
So yes, I have the Redskins winning this game.
Well, you already know who I'm picking. It's gonna be every week. Anytime we had the Redskins on here, I'm picking the Redskins regardless. So I'm picking the Redskins, and you know who Ray's picking. Ray said Dirty Birds. That's what he said.
That's good, you know, for him.
So, Ray, Dirty Birds, it's going to be a good game, man. I mean, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I believe in RG3. He brings me hope. But it's about time for another break. But when we get back, we'll pick the rest of our big games for Week 5. And also, we'll talk about what happened to Big D yesterday. And I must say this, Green Turtle, I was doing the Deion all day. D-Hall, Deion. Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
On Eyes Radio.
You dig?
You can hear the Eyes Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear the Eyes Radio Network, you have a chance to win some money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. Just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the Where Did You Hear About Us link and enter Eyes Radio, EYESRADIO. To get automatically entered to win $100. That's right, I said it, $100. The latest episode of the show will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code EYESRADIO when you're registered. That's EYESRADIO.
Hi, I'm Sonny Jurgensen, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network.
You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. The show is hosted by Coach and Lovely Vivian.
Where is Apple G's hosted from? Where Vivian and Coach from?
Texas.
What was the Monday Night Football game at?
Texas.
This makes me feel so good, man. Makes me feel... when I wrote this outline out, this topic here, it just gave me goosebumps. I mean, the Bears played the Cowboys yesterday. We saw it.
Yeah, and for the first quarter, it was a very close game.
It really was.
A very close game.
It really was.
You thought, okay, this is going to be one of those defensive struggles back and forth. But then midway through the second quarter, it just went all downhill from there.
You know what? And the funny thing about it is when you watch Cowboys games, I feel like I watched this game before. When they played the Bears in Dallas, was it last year or the year before last? Like, the same thing kind of occurred. Like, Romo turned the ball over. And Jay Cutler went to work.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing occurred. This is, and then, you know, you have Jerry Jones, owner for the Cowboys.
Owner and general manager.
Yeah, exactly. And people talk about Daniel Snyder. Okay. He came out and said he was disappointed in the Cowboys' performance. And he should be. Go ahead.
Nah, to me, I've never seen a team do less with more. To be completely honest with you.
Okay, you get this all the time when you hear about the Cowboys. Everybody says, the Cowboys are super talented and this, that, and the other. Do you really think they're that talented?
I'm not going to go as far as to say they're super talented, but is this a talented team? Yes, Dez Bryant. I don't think you'll hear anyone argue and say that he isn't
elite
number
talent.
One.
Yeah, he's elite talent. He is elite talent.
Austin... Miles
Halston means it's a hard worker.
Hard worker, very good
wide receiver.
Yeah, very good number two wide receiver. Jason Witten, he might be a little bit over the hill, but he's still extremely
Hall of Fame
extremely effective. DeMarco Murray, very talented running back.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Ware. Yeah, on the defense, on the defensive side, DeMarcus Ware, the ultimate pass rusher in the NFL.
You got the linebacker.
Yeah, Sean Lee, guy who's up there who's one of the top leaders in tackles. You traded up to the number six for Maurice Claiborne. Then you gave a boatload of money to Carr.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say. So I don't think there's no arguing. There is talent on that team.
Yeah.
Then we forgot Tyron Smith, a guy who was drafted in the top 10 in their left tackle.
They're still struggling. He's struggling now.
Yeah, he's struggling. So I'm going to say with the expo, and also you have to add into the expectation.
Yeah,
of this team. Yeah, of this being the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, who has a mantra. He wants Super Bowls and. He wants to create the ultimate winner and the most visible team in the NFL and in sports, period. So that's why I say there, to me, there isn't a team that does less with more.
But what's the problem? Like, what is the problem?
Culture. It's a culture thing. You look at it, for one, you got the owner playing GM.
Yeah.
Who, you know, when he had a comparable guy like Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, helping him make the picks. Those guys, they were doing a great job. They were drafting guys who were star offensive linemen, getting them in like the later rounds, using the early picks to get guys that actually made an impact on the team from day one. This team doesn't have that now. They don't have at least decent offensive line. They don't have a decent defensive line. You have Rob Ryan, the most glorified assistant coach in the NFL.
because of Ryan
and his antics, who says that all he needed were good corners, and then you could see what his defense could do. Okay, you got your corners now.
Yeah.
Even though it's only four games into the season.
They played well before yesterday. But, you know.
Not against the Seahawks.
The corners? Well, the corner's okay, but like the defense is okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, but again though, you're not tested. Other than the Giants, though, I get credit. They did good against the Giants.
Yeah, they did a very good job against the Giants.
Yeah, but I mean, but the body of work, it's still early though. I agree with you. The body of work still hasn't shown that his D is dominant. It's been good though. Don't get me wrong, but it hasn't been as dominant. I'm just trying to figure out what the problem in Big D is. I mean, I don't know if it's the coaches.
It's the culture. I'm telling you, this team.
You don't think it's Jason Garrett? You don't think Jason Garrett is a problem?
No, I think Jason Garrett. And it feeds into culture because, to me, it feels like Jason Garrett is kind of looking over his shoulder because of he has an owner who wants to be so involved, who's not only the owner but the GM. So he's in meetings with him all week. They're talking. You know, who knows what Jerry's telling them or what's going on, the conversation that him and Jerry has. So to me, it's a culture thing. Jerry Jones wants to be highly visible within the organization, makes his organization highly visible. You need a middleman, a buffer. Mm-hmm. You need a strong football GM, football guy who's able to make the tough decisions and evaluate talent properly.
No, I mean I like what you're saying. I kind of agree with you that it is the culture. Because I like Dez Bryant. You can bring Dez Bryant to D.C. We do good things with him. I'm serious.
Dez Bryant's 3 years in and still doesn't run the right route.
Yeah. That's such a why.
That's a cultural
thing. Yeah, why? Why is that? Like, we're talking about one of the most talented, gifted wide receivers, I think, that's come out in the last some odd years. And why is he not putting up the numbers like, say, for instance, A.J. Green's a beast. He is, right?
Absolutely.
Dez Bryant, is more talented than A.J. Green. And I love A.J. Green's game. He's smooth. But Dez Bryant, to me, is more talented. Dez Bryant is that good. He's a playmaker. He's explosive. But, I agree. I don't know what's going on. But let's stop talking about the Cowboys. Let's go on the other spectrum. Let's go to the Bears who put the ass-whooping on the Cowboys. Are they real contenders?
I think so. The only thing, the biggest question mark about this team is on the shoulders of their quarterback mentally.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler. Just sometimes this guy looks like he's real fired up. He's into it. Other times he just feels like, I don't even want to do this. Why am I here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That and Jeff George in him, boy.
Yeah, yeah. He has a lot of Jeff George in him. This team can run the ball. They have a dynamic playmaker on the outside, which they haven't had in a long time, and Brandon Marshall. Alshon Jeffries looks like he's developing.
And then, like, now they're finally starting him. Like,
yeah.
It took him a while.
They're trying to get him going. Devin Hester, one of the fastest guys. Get him in the slot. Get him matched up on some of those linebackers or slower DBs.
You got Earl Bennett. They didn't play yesterday.
Yep. Johnny Knox, when he comes back, if he's able to come back from injury, when he's able to.
Yeah, forgot about Johnny Knox.
Yeah, but that offensive line, that's going to be a headache for this team.
Yeah.
And defensively, you know, Brian Urlacher, he looks like he's lost a step.
But he still plays at a high level.
He still plays at a high level. Mm-hmm.
But that's the truth.
Lance Briggs, he comes out. He brings it every week. Charles Peanut Tillman, very good cover corner, very physical.
Yeah.
So this team, they.
Oh, you forgot the best of them all.
What's that?
Oh, Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers, I forgot. He still can get to the quarterback. He still commands a double team.
And still versatile at the end.
I think, like, this to me, the Bears are definitely one of the contenders in the NFC.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bears are a contender. I do agree with you. When I talk about the Cowboys with Romo, Jay Cutler is the key for the Bears to be successful. I do think Jay Cutler is overrated. Don't get me wrong. I do. I think he's overrated. I think people want to pronounce him as an elite quarterback because they're in love with his arm. But he does have the tools to be elite. Don't get me wrong. I won't say he doesn't. But his mindset is not elite. You know what I mean?
But you won't hear any arguments from this.
But if they could find a way to not – if I feel like if the staff – acknowledges what Jay Cutler really is, then they can be successful. Meaning that don't try to throw the ball 100 times. You know, use Matt Forte like you need to use him. Like, make him the focal point. And then, you know, obviously
you also
take
brought
advantage.
In a guy like Michael Bush also.
And Michael Bush too. And then take advantage of Marshall and Jeffries. You know what I mean? Like, if you make Forte the key cog in the offense and make him, like, all right, give him 25 carries. If he is healthy, 25 carries, screen game with them raw.
I don't even think Forte has to get 25. He needs to touch the ball 25
times. Actually, to me, he needs to touch the ball about 30 times. That's within the pass and run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you on that. Forte needs to get touches. If you can make sure you maximize the amount of touches that Forte gets, yeah, I believe this team is really a contender easily. But let's move to another game that on week 4, Jets-Niners. Let's just make it as easy. The Niners dominated the game, so we didn't really get into what about the Niners. Is it Tebow time for the Jets?
No, absolutely not. It's never Tebow time.
It's never
I will say this, though. What impressed me about, from the 49ers standpoint, I'm not going to say. Yeah, they are, but offensively, just how they their strategy.
Yeah, I would think the same thing.
Like, all right, you look at it, Colin Kaepernick, he came in the game. What's the first thing they did with him? Throw a deep bomb to Randy Moss.
That was the second thing they did. The first thing they ran that little play. The second thing they did was throw the bomb to Randy Moss.
Yeah, so that lets you show, okay, he has an arm. So you have to respect him from when he's under center as a quarterback or rather a shotgun. And then also running the triple option with him. You know, the reason the Jets brought in Tim Tebow is so he could be that guy in the Wildcat.
Yeah.
Who can power that offense, bring those trick plays, bring some diversity to that offense. Maybe they're saving them or waiting for it, but they haven't done anything with Tebow thus far.
Well, I think the versatility of what he can do, what he can do in the Wildcat compared to what last year is going to be hindered because he gained some more weight, so that might make him a little slower. He wasn't fast anyway. But he is a little. He probably would be a little slower to have more versatility going outside. You know, now he'd be more of an inside dude. You know, doing the option, doing the Wildcat. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So that might, you know, kind of hinder it a little bit. But yeah, I agree. I don't know why. You know, they're not using Tim Tebow in any, you know, in any little packages that they said they were going to use him. I agree with you. I don't think it's time to use Tim Tebow as a starter. But really, with Sanchez struggling, what do you have out there? You know, I mean, really.
I'll say this. I don't think necessarily people putting too much blame on Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. I'm not putting all the
blame
on him.
He has no weapons on the outside. He has a running back who only has one gear. His offensive line, even though he has an all-pro on the offensive line. Yeah, he has two pro bowlers on that offensive line. But overall, that offensive line isn't worth squat.
Yeah.
You can't, to me, I think people are too critical on Sanchez because he doesn't have any weapons. Now, we do know that he's not elite because, you know, the elite guys, they make the guys around them better.
Yeah.
So we do know that, but I don't think you can really fully analyze or criticize Sanchez until he
gets some weapons.
He has some weapons.
Yeah, because I think you know, I like Santonio Holmes. Think he's a good ball player. I think the elite.
He's not the number. He's not elite.
He's good. He's really really good. He's not elite. There's a difference. He's not what they think he is. Put it that way. A guy who's being criticized is Cam Newton.
As he should be.
Okay, you think so? Okay, okay. After a bad showing against the Giants, I thought he stepped up against the Atlanta. Just they had that key fumble, but he had a key fumble. What do you think Cam Newton's mind is at right now?
I think Cam Newton's mind is on Cam Newton, to be completely honest with you. No, and I'll tell you why.
Go ahead, go ahead.
You're down 21. You score. He scores. What does he do? He does the A-Town stomp and does his Superman thing.
Yeah, I know. It's
he
cool.
just doesn't see the big picture. You're down 21.
You talking about the Giants game?
No, I'm talking about against the Falcons.
Who's that? They won. They were up. They were never down. They were down 21.
They were down. They were down significantly.
Oh, they came back.
Yeah.
Before they came back.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you're right. I don't know. I ain't never down.
Yeah, they were down. It might have been the Giants game.
I don't think it was down. They were like competitive for most of the game.
But you're doing the Superman thing.
I saw A-Town style though. Cause
yeah. Like he doesn't get the big picture to me. To me, Cam Newton is about Cam Newton at this point in career. A side note, an interesting conversation that me, you, and Harold actually had about Cam Newton versus RG3. You guys said that you think RG3 is better at this time. And I was like, nah, I go with Cam. But I'm starting to lean a little bit because I think that Bobby or Robert actually gets the big picture.
Yeah, he does.
Cam Newton is all about Cam Newton at this point. Not to say that he isn't a very good talent any fan would feel lucky to have him as their quarterback of the future. But he just doesn't sit the big picture now.
The difference between Cam Newton and RG3, just look at how they handle adversity. What happened with Josh Morgan? With the St. Louis Rams game, or RG3 getting hit like consistently over and over again, and you know the frustration he had when he talks to the media, he goes out and talks to the media, and he'll give you a soundbite, and he's not sulking. You don't see him in the sideline sulking. I'm not mad at Cam Newton for doing it, but that's a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like you look how the players talk about RG3 as a leader. You know what I mean? As a leader. Or, you know, how he's poised or whatever. Steve Smith had to go getting into Cam Newton stating that, you know, dude, you need to mature up. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. And this is year two. You don't have to worry about that with RG3 because, you know, he has that leadership quality. That was, you know, that's the thing that when you look at RG3, you're like, whoa, this kid's mature beyond his years. But Cam Newton, I'm going to go to this situation. Now, you hear talks about him sulking after the Atlanta game in a locker room for 15 minutes before speaking to reporters. I don't have a problem with that. In essence, I feel him. He really caused the team the W in his mind. He fumbled when he had the first down, and Matt Ryan drives the length of the field, throws about a Hail Mary, gets him a field goal range, blase, blase, get a field goal, and they win the game. When I look at Cam Newton, I'm not mad at him for being upset. If it was me, I wouldn't want to talk to nobody.
Yeah, I understand. I understand.
Yeah.
I do understand that he didn't want to talk to anyone right after the game because he felt that he lost the game for his team.
Yeah.
That's totally understandable. But, like, to me, it's just big picture at this point.
I hear you. No, you're saying, but I get what you're talking about. Cam Newton's all about showing what I can do. You know,
spotlight on me.
I agree with you on that, the Superman thing. Can he regain his form from last season? He's struggling right now, but can he regain his form this season to show people that, yeah, I'm still Cam. I'm still Superman.
He can, but it'll be a little bit harder because everyone has, 20 games of game film on him now. So you can spot his tendencies, things he likes to do, and, you had, you're able to analyze and break down the tape, and you know a little bit better of what Carolina tries to do with him from a philosophical standpoint on offense. So, I'm not saying he can't. He can work, tweak some mechanics, and he can come back, but a little bit harder.
Well, Cam's mobile. He's mobile quarterback, but I'm going to talk about the originator of mobile quarterback. Well, not originator, but the, I guess, in our, in like, within Cam's memory, the originator of the mobile quarterback, Mike Vick.
Mike Vick.
Mike Vick. We heard a lot of talks about, yeah, they should bench Mike Vick, this, that, and the other, BS. But Mike Vick and LeSean McCoy led the Eagles to a victory over the Giants. First off, can we all shut up this BS talk about Mike Vick being on the bench?
Yeah, to me, I don't understand why people sulk so much about Mike. First of all, the Eagles are 3-1.
That's one thing. Yeah, exactly. They were 2-1 when they had this talk.
Yeah, they were 2-1 we were having this discussion, when everyone was having this discussion. My thing is, you would have thought the Eagles were 0-3.
Exactly.
True, has he turned the ball over excessively? Yes, he has.
Have they protected him?
No, they haven't necessarily. Have they put him in the best situation to be successful? No, they haven't, because you have a guy who's easily one of the top five talented running backs in the game with LeSean McCoy.
Yes, you do.
Run the guy 20 times a game. Use the screen game. Stop throwing so many deep passes. But Mike Vick does have to learn to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker.
That's true. He does.
And also, he does need to learn how to slide or throw the ball away if it's not there.
You can't slide. It's too long.
I don't think he'll be able to change it.
Yeah, he's over 30 plus. He's 30 plus. if he ain't sliding his 20s, he ain't sliding his 30s. But I'm with you, Will. I think the whole Vic talk is annoying to me. The dude has beaten. Let's just look at the resume. What he's beaten already this season. All right, Cleveland, give him whatever. But look, the Ravens struggle with Cleveland too. He's beaten
the Ravens.
The Ravens and he's beaten now the Giants. That's two really good teams.
Yeah, so this is how I look at it. The Eagles have played three of the top 10 teams in the
Arizona,
NFL after the first 4 weeks.
Exactly.
True, the game against Arizona was a debacle.
Yes, it was.
But some of the blame should go to the coach, because I don't feel as if the game plan was –
They didn't take Arizona seriously.
Yeah, they didn't take Arizona seriously. They said, oh, we know Kevin Cobb. We know his tendencies.
Yeah. And Kevin Cobb was motivated, and they didn't take him seriously.
Yeah.
They didn't take that team seriously, and you could tell. And also, going to the West Coast isn't easy. Let's just be real.
No, it isn't.
But like I said, I think it was ridiculous to worry about to bench Michael Vick. I think it's funny. I think it's ridiculous to even that people are talking about, well, will he be back or not? I mean, dude, Michael Vick is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You can't tell. You're going to glorify people like Jay Cutler. You know what I mean? Like, you dig what I'm saying? Like, you're going to glorify someone like Jay Cutler,
mm-hmm.
who to me hasn't accomplished anything Michael Vick has. You're going to glorify, honestly, you're going to glorify Matt Ryan, who hasn't accomplished anything that Michael Vick has.
Nope.
And you're talking about benching this dude. You're talking about A, benching this dude, and A, is this dude going to be back? I think it's funny. For a guy, Nick Foles, who all he did was play good against second, third string dudes, and yeah, he got his opportunity against the first team and when Michael Vick went down. But let's be real, it's preseason.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So,
the most popular quarterback is always the backup quarterback.
When you talk, Michael Vick is one of the most electric. And honestly, now if you look at it, clutch quarterbacks in this year's NFL.
Guys, this season the guys led two come from behind wins. So,
but you mentioned LeSean McCoy. Do you think now, from what you saw against the Giants, Andy Reid's gonna be like, okay, LeSean McCoy has to get more carries. He's gonna have to get the 25 carries a game. For us to be successful,
he needs to carry the ball 20 times, but he needs to touch the ball somewhere between 25 to
30.
To 30. In my humble opinion. But
you think Andy's going to do it though?
No.
So we're going to see Michael Vick on his backside, and you guys still losing games? Is that what you're telling me?
No, we're not going.
Because to me, you just got
that
formula.
Defense.
Let's be real. Will,
let's be honest. The defense is strong.
Be honest now.
We
all know. We got this team. LeSean McCoy is a top five running back, easily, hands down, man down, top five running back.
Yeah.
He's not getting touches. Like, he's not getting 25 to 30. You're going to put yourself susceptible, in positions to be upset and lose games like you did against Arizona. This guy has to get 20, like you said.
No,
25,
see,
30
see,
touches.
No. one, it has to do with that, and two, it's also if the Eagles haven't, the play calling isn't consistent enough to put together a drive.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
It's more of the big play, go downfield, let's get a big chunk of yards.
Yeah, I noticed
and
that.
Then see where we can go from there. Marty Morningwig, Andy Reid, they have to start calling the game in a way the Eagles can consistently put together a drive. And one of the keys to that is using the running game.
Yeah.
So I do think that hopefully they learn their lesson, but probably not.
You know what? Yeah. Sean McCoy right now is your biggest playmaker. Give him the ball. Just
yeah,
get the ball.
You have playmakers all along
you do.
The offense.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You got DeShone Jackson when he feels like he doesn't want to have alligator arms. I like DeShone Jackson. It's just a fact. Macklin, who probably is your best wide receiver, to be honest, with his assistant constant.
Brent Celek,
who to me is showing out over this early part of the season.
And Jason Avant's a guy who goes across the middle.
Down. He's a great third wide receiver and third down wide receiver. I think he gets first. When it's third and 10, it's a good look for Jason Avant because he'll get first down. I'm with you, though. I think the Eagles, and I think Andy Reid will smarten up and he will do the job and you'll see McCoy being featured a lot more. But it's about time for our picks. It's one of the fun parts of our show. Last week, I'm gonna go with a rundown from the picks we had last week. That's cool.
I don't think we need to go down to.
No, I know people need to know our accuracy.
I think people just need to know the record.
No, they gotta know the accuracy. They gotta know how good we were.
Okay,
you know what I mean.
Okay.
Niners, Jets. Me and Will picked the Niners. Ray picked the Jets. Loser. Giants, Eagles. Me and Will picked the Eagles. Ray picked the Giants. Again, 85% losing. Wait, what did I got? Okay, Saints, Packers. Ray picked the Saints. 85% losing again. Will and Wally picked the Packers. 80, I think we're 100% right now.
Yeah.
Winners. And Bears, Cowboys, we talked about it. Ray picked the Cowboys. And Wally, I'm sorry. Ray did not pick the Cowboys. That's an accident. Ray, we all picked the Bears. Sorry. So Ray has that one. Sorry. So let's go over to this week's.
So what's our record so far?
Oh, I'm sorry. I want to skip that one. I want to skip the records because you already said it. Who wants to talk about it?
Why? I think the people should know. You should inform the people.
All right. So the standings are.
Can we do it from lowest to highest?
All right, lowest to highest. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Ray is 5-7. Wally, myself, is 9-3.
And that would be this 9-3 usually like would be a very good record for someone picking games. Like seriously, like for someone picking games to be 9-3.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a very good record. It's a good record. It's a good record.
It's a good record.
Yeah.
And for first place, Will T with 11-1.
Now that's a great record. Now they say nothing in life is perfect.
That's damn near.
But guess what?
Right?
I'm damn near close to it. So if you listen to me and you bet with me, it's gonna be a good Christmas for the kids. So
wow. I'll say this much, everybody has a streak. Losing and winning. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Everybody has a streak. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, let's go to Thursday night game. Cardinals versus Rams. Will T.
Hold on. I'm picking the upset. Going with the Rams.
I'm going to Rams, too. See, I like the Rams because it's not really an upset. The Rams are at home. It ain't a real upset. And Ray picked the Rams as well. So all of us picked the Rams.
Okay.
All right. This is when I know you'll pick it. You'll pick the upset. Eagles versus Steelers.
Eagles.
Eagles. Will T got the Eagles. Me and Ray have the Steelers. Broncos versus the Patriots.
That's a tough one.
And it's at New England.
It's at New England?
Yeah.
Sunday night?
Yep. No, is it Sunday night? I don't think Sunday night. No, it's not Sunday night.
It's not Sunday night?
I don't think so. I could check. Well, it might be. It doesn't matter, though. Yeah. It may be. I thought it was like a CBS primetime game. Okay, 4 o'clock game.
I'm going with the Patriots.
I'm going with the Broncos. And you and Ray are going with the Patriots, so it's already there. This could be the opportunity I can get first place, get two games out the column. Hopefully, actually not. Will you put the Redskins too? Yeah, two games out the column. Yeah, so hopefully I get that spot. But also, I make picks on this website called Pick Factor.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I only got one wrong last week, so I was damn near perfect myself.
You're damn near perfect.
Yeah, like Mr. Perfect. Yeah. I wish I could throw a football to myself and catch it. You know what I mean? You young kids don't know that. Like, Mr. Perfect, like, he was a wrestler, and he threw a football 100 yards and caught it. Well, that's how the promo was, but still, yeah. It was cool. When I was a kid, I thought it was like Santa.
Reference. Let them know where that reference is from.
Oh, like WWE. WWF back then.
WWF wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like WWE now, but it's WWF back then. But yeah. I make these picks, Pick Factor. You can check them out. You can check my picks out on the website, www.pickfactor.com. I'm an expert. That's what I'm called. It's Wally Urban Sports Scene Expert. You too can fill out, you know, a little record joint on my name, okay? And I'll say Will did it. You know what I'm saying? It won't be
okay,
Wally.
I mean,
I won't blemish my
listen,
record.
No, this when you start to sink below 500, I'll come in to save you.
What?
How about that?
When I said below 500.
When you're
dude,
at,
me,
when
son.
You're at or
son, ain't me, son.
Below 500, I'll come in to save you, and
below.
I'll
well, speed the
I'll
show
resurrect
up,
this
you're
thing, man.
You talking about this. You talking about, like, I don't be getting 100%. Like, I'm damn near 99%, dude.
Well, you're 93. I'm 11-1.
All right, man.
Like I said, regularly, that would be very good.
Still, man,
but then there's right now, the
son.
Overachiever in the class. You
oh,
know?
You know, in our fantasy football, you know who you're playing this week in fantasy football?
Who?
Oh, man. Undefeated dude right here, son.
Oh, you? Oh, you
now
going down this week.
Yeah, undefeated, man. Question mark. Question mark. Who's last place? Question mark. It ain't
it's
me.
It's all good.
It ain't me, son. Anyway, like I was mentioning fantasy football. It's about that time. You get advice to the people. They should listen to me because I'm undefeated. But anyway, I'll let Will start it off.
No, I'll let you start it off.
You let me start off?
Yeah,
go ahead,
I'll let you start off.
Ask the question.
Who should you start this week?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is playing against a porous Packers defense who is giving up yards to everybody. They drafted a lot of rookies. They drafted players, to inject youth into their defense. It really isn't working at the moment. They're missing Michael Bishop, who's out for the season, and that's hurt their D. So I look for Andrew Luck to do some big things against that secondary, and also, you know, hit his tight end Fiener a couple times. So I like Andrew Luck in this game as a person you must start.
Oh, I'm going to go with Andre Johnson. They play the Houston Texans. They play the Jets this week. There's no Revis Allen.
It's Cromartie, though.
There's Cromartie, who
Cromartie
claims
Island.
To be
who has a bunch of kids.
Yeah, who claims to be the best cornerback now that Revis is out.
Delusional.
Yeah, extremely. I think Andre Johnson will dominate this Jet secondary. This is a team that can't get any pass rush from their linebackers or defensive line. Cromartie is known to get burnt on double moves, which yeah. Andre Johnson is very good at, and also he's susceptible to the deep ball on occasion. So, start Andre Johnson.
But who wouldn't start Andre Johnson ever?
Hey, listen, this isn't about a sleeper.
I didn't say who would never. You would always start Andre Johnson. All no. We were telling you that Andre Johnson is going to fry this week. So that's what
some people.
You.
If Revis wasn't there. Some people wouldn't start Andre Johnson.
Oh, they always start Andre Johnson. That's well, what I do. I go with the you use your playmakers. That's what I mean. I got AJ Green. That's what I do.
Well,
I don't
just
bench
saying.
AJ Green.
Okay, well,
he
know.
Plays, man. When it gets the Ravens,
I'm just giving the people my advice.
When I played against the Ravens, they had a great defense. I still play AJ Green. He still gave me points, though.
That's what's up.
He's AJ Green, son.
Yeah, but I'm just giving my advice. This is my advice.
Okay, I hear you, son. I hear you talking. I hear you talking right now. I hear you talking, man. All right,
so who should you sit?
All right, last week, man. I said Cutler. I was wrong about this situation.
You were?
I was wrong. Cutler actually had a good game last night. But this week, I'm going to say sit your boy, man.
Who?
Sean McCoy.
Wow.
Playing the Steelers, man. They stopped the run.
Oh, okay.
I even though he probably can get some yards out the back, maybe he can get some reception, but I think it'll be a hard day for him getting yards, yardage, like 100 yards against that Steelers defense. I do think they'll feature him, but I think the Steelers will shut him down because of getting healthy. Palomalu's back. Is coming back. And Harrison's coming back, too, as well. So it's going to be hard for him to do what he's capable of doing. So I'm going to say sit LeSean McCoy.
That's an interesting pick.
Yeah. See how I go hard? I go hard in the paint.
Go hard in the paint. I see.
That segment's coming back, too. Don't worry about it. Basketball season is emerging. Go ahead.
Okay. Wow, I'm kind of stuck because I actually wanted to switch up mine. So I'm going to go with. Who should you sit? Wow, that's a tough one.
Somebody wasn't ready for this segment.
Yeah, he wasn't. I'm going to say sit. Oh, man. I'm going to say sit Tony Romo.
Tony Romo?
Yeah.
They have a bye.
Yeah, that's why you should sit them.
You sound like fish.
No, no. I'm going to say sit.
Fancy folks listen to the show. They're like, what the hell is this dude talking about? Andre Johnson?
Hold on, man. Let's just skip.
Skip?
Yeah, you skip.
Skip Will's segment on that part. All right. You got to ask me a question, Will. Let's give you time to.
Who is your sleeper?
My sleeper. Okay, I said Golden Tate last week. Again, I said Golden Tate last week. And guess what? I was wrong.
You were.
Because he ain't do nothing. And this week, I'm going to go with my boy. I'm going to go with Leonard Hankerson. I think he's been targeted a lot. Using your word, target. He's been targeted a lot by RG3. Even when Garcon came back yesterday, he was targeted. Like, got 7 catches, 57 yards. It wasn't 100, but still 7 catches. So some people had him, that stupid catch fantasy football league where your catches are like a point. So you got 7 points for that. And then 57 yards, probably get 10 yards per, I mean, 10 yards, a point for 10 yards. So you probably got 5 to that. So that's 12 points.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Leonard Hankerson as my sleeper for this week.
I'm going to go with Jacob Tammy. Tight end. Yeah. Tight end for the Denver Broncos.
Ray had him last week.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. You know who Ray played?
Who?
The boss. Right here, son. And Ray got an L. He caught that good A whipping. That's right.
Get out of here. I'm gonna go with Jacob Tammy to show out against the Patriots this week.
Oh, have you thought of a person to sit yet?
Sit Matt Castle. He's been playing terrible.
Yeah, and Matt Castle is actually playing the Baltimore Ravens. So yeah, yep. Ray's got one. I mean, Will's got one.
Yeah, I got a great one.
That was a great one right there. Actually, it was a good one.
Yep.
Matt Castle. Sit Matt Castle because he is horrible. That's it. The show's about a wrap. All
right, man. That's it. This show 123 for us?
Yeah, 123. So let me give that good old 123 wrap up stuff. You know
all right,
I mean?
Man.
That good old. I'm using that good ass that good old language. You know what I mean?
That good old.
That good old. That good old. Check us out on the Eyes Radio Network. Just visit www.eyesradio.com to listen to the show. On our official website, just visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com.
All right, man. It's been great. Another week. Another successful show.
Another week. No dollars.
So, you know, we'll be back next week talking more football.
And hopefully we'll have Ray back here next week because we can talk about this Atlanta Redskins game. You know, Ray will bring some enthusiasm to the set. If Atlanta wins, if they lose, I kind of want to see him here too at the same time because that would be a fun discussion to have.
Yeah, it will be. But you know, thanks again for listening to us. If you listen to the whole show, appreciate your support and love. We out this.